No, he didn't mean us. Amen. Glad you're here today. I'm glad to be saved.
Amen.
I like them old hymns. I was a sinner. Anybody else?
Amen.
Saved by grace. I am glad to be part of this. And not just delivered from hell and looking forward to a home in heaven, but I'm enjoying the ride.
Amen.
I enjoy Christianity. I enjoy being around Christians. And you know, if you get your focus on people first, then you might get a little discouraged. I mean, if you don't know exactly what I mean, look in the mirror before you brush your teeth and comb your hair, you know. But I was telling preacher the other day, I was a paratrooper in the Army, a pretty serious bunch, and then I got involved in motorcycle gangs. This was all in search for brotherhood. And this is the brotherhood that Lord Jesus Christ founded. And those things weren't perfect, and I moved on. And then I got here. Well, Jack Wood told me early on, he said, no matter what anybody tells you, you can make it. And I didn't understand what he meant because, I just thought Christians were perfect. And he knew something I didn't know after 40 years. We're not perfect, but we know somebody that is. And that's the difference between us and every other group or crowd. And so I'll say it like this: Christians aren't perfect, but it's the best crowd I've ever run with.
Amen.
And I did this for a few years and that for a few years, and for 35 years I've been doing this, and it just keeps getting better.
Amen.
As we get closer to seeing our Savior, I mean, don't ever get over it. Take your Bible, go to Romans 14 this morning. Thank you for a good week. And good participation, kind compliments, except for Chris. He always comes up with something to balance it out. No, I'm kidding.
I resemble that statement.
Good. I knew you were pretending you didn't hear anyway. Romans chapter 14. And it says this in verse 11. So for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess to God. Every, it says. And you might say, well, confess what? Well, Philippians 2 and verse 11 tells us that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, without exception.
Amen.
Now, if you do it this side of your last breath, the other side is going to be a lot better. But if you wait till the other side of your last breath, like that rich man in Luke 16, well, you're going to ask for mercy there, but you won't get it. I wouldn't risk it. Amen. Because, just in case, you know, well, I'm here checking this out. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says you will confess that Jesus Christ, not that he lived, not that he existed, not that he's a historical figure. You're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad I did that years ago. And I've got a lot of regrets since I got saved, and every one of them has to do with me. Some decisions I've made, some things I've listened to, some things I've said. But I don't have any regrets when it comes to him. I'm saying that, that's not preacher talk. I mean it. Isn't he something?
Amen.
Verse 12 is our text. And it says then, in light of that, every tongue should confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. He's writing this to believers. It's an epistle written to a church. Everybody's going to confess. And he said, so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Father, again, we come to you in the majestic name of our Savior. Glad that we're able to say that on this side of that dark door that's ahead. Thank you, Lord God, that you see fit not only to save us, but to give us a manual, give us direction And not only just by way of the book, but by an indwelling Holy Spirit that we can't run off, regardless of how hard we try sometimes. And by anointing men to open that Bible with an understanding directly from you and tell us what how it applies. To help us along the way as we mature, as we grow from babes in Christ to full age, able to help others. What a journey it is, and what a journey it's been, and most worthwhile thing any of us ever embarked on. Some of us don't realize it yet, but that comes. I pray and ask, Lord, as I try to bear witness to the some things you've laid on my heart, I pray that you'd enable that to happen. Guide my thoughts, my lips, and the hearts of those that are hearing. May you be pleased and glorified. And Lord, there's somebody in here that never confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. That they're in our midst, and today they're searching. And I pray they find the truth today in the Lord Jesus Christ, like many of us have. I pray it for your glory. Amen. Amen. So then, every one of us shall give an account. Everyone. I didn't look that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm lazy. I didn't look that up in the original Greek. Oh. Or Hebrew.
Yeah.
Or anything else. I speak English. God, knowing that that's what I speak, gave me a Bible in English. So then every one of us.
Amen.
People are constantly trying to figure out what the Bible means. I figured it out. It means what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duh. Everyone without distinction. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. Personally, I'm really, really glad of that. Amen. But you should be too. Amen. And this means everyone without exception. There's no loopholes. Doesn't matter if you got saved late. Doesn't matter if you was, got saved in a Christian home and was raised in church and put your faith and trust in Christ early on and got a hold of the Bible and even stayed unspotted from some of the things that even Christians get involved in and as they mature and get saved young and then nail it down in the teen years, things like that. Doesn't matter. There's no loopholes. Everybody, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. It says, tell them everyone who should give account of himself. You're not going to give an account. Ain't nobody in here. You're not going to give an account of anybody else. You need to just worry about you. I don't know why we spend so much time worrying about other people. When you get to the end of the road, that's what this is. It's just going to be you and him. And you're going to give an account of yourself to God. To God. I've been in trouble with the law. I've been in front of a federal judge. It's kind of, intimidating. Some of you have applied for job positions and things like that, to work to your future. And it might be a little real serious and you're a little intimidated and you're putting on your best face. Is that an air raid? Do you have air raids up here? Oh, well, that's good. I had them do that on purpose. I'm glad that cooperated, because this is an emergency alert too. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God as it is appointed on a man once to die. That's kind of an emergency. There's another sound I'm waiting for, because I already took care of the first one. It's not going to sound like a bell, though. It's going to sound like a trumpet. I like that. Amen. You can try to be on your best for different scenarios in your life, trying to make a good impression, but this says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And God knows every detail about you on your worst day. That's scary. My worst days are pretty bad. My best days are getting a little better with the help of Mrs. Wonderful back there. But It amazes me that God, knowing every detail of our life, gave his life for us anyway. And then, knowing how sorry we are going to be sometime this side of the cross, he still went ahead and did that. It amazes me that God, knowing every detail of every one of us, even gives us the time of day, but he does. That makes him unfathomable. You're going to give an account of yourself to God, who nobody can deceive. To give an account means you're going to answer for some things. I had an opportunity to go to a vocational high school when I was in, I guess, 11th, 12th grade, that you could go to a vocational high school. And I was bored to death in the public high school I was growing up in. And so I went to, my dad was a carpenter, like I said earlier. I knew I needed to learn how to do something. And I went, and each of the instructors of the different vocations would give their pitch. And the carpenter, my dad said, don't be a carpenter. As soon as you start a job, you're working your way out of a job, and then you got to find a new job. Find something consistent, and don't get a job where you got to work outside, because winter puts you out of work. My dad was focused on working, and he worked side jobs all the time. So I'm listening to the carpenter, and I thought, that's interesting. I really respect anybody can do anything with wood. I do. But I personally can take a very expensive sheet of plywood and make the most beautiful pile of sawdust you ever saw. Didn't get the skill, didn't get the knack. Electricians make good money, but, you know, I saw early on, I was kind of scatterbrained when I was young. You think it's bad now? I said, I will electrocute myself. Never had a desire to be a plumber, but I have a dear friend that's a plumber. Got a plumbing business up in Maine, and he did the same thing. He went to vocational high school, and he listened to all the pitches by the instructors, and the plumbing guy said something that made an impact on his life, and he went that route. He's very successful. He has a company, and he's so successful that he doesn't even have to be there. He flies around the world helping missionaries much.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. He's using it for God. And he said, the plumbing instructor said, indoor plumbing is never going out of style. That's profoundly deep. Amen. So I became a plumber. I didn't. I took accounting. You made me think of this yesterday. I took accounting. Why?
Because it looked easy.
You get paid good. You get an office. You don't have to go out in no bad weather. You just mess with numbers a little bit. Get paid real good. I said, that's for me, man. I'm a lazy, no count, wannabe hippie in the 60s. I got right with God on that. Oh, I got right with somebody because I became a biker because I didn't want to be a hippie, and I knew I'd never fit in with the disco. And about half of you have any clue what I'm talking about. The other half, you're going to have to ask them. Amen. But I took accounting because it looked easy. I took accounting for 1 year, my junior year. And buddy, I went back to public high school because accounting wasn't easy. It was serious. It was way more serious than I was. Amen. I've been in prison. I'd have got electrocuted if I became an electrician, but I'd have been in prison.
I ended up in prison anyway.
I don't know what happened there. But what I thought was easy wasn't easy. It was serious. Accounting is serious. That Bible says, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And what I want to get across to you this morning, that is very, very serious. And I want to give you some things to consider this morning. Number one, you're going to give account of your salvation. I was in a rough neighborhood, parked next to a church. They would have put me in a campground, but it was 35 miles away. It was a long, lot of extra time going back and forth, day and night. And I, in the church, they didn't have a lot of money. And I said, we'll park in the alley behind the church, next to a very, I don't know if it was a dope house or what. But it was a rough place, and I can recognize rough places, and I had to consider whether or not it was safe to go there with my wife, but I got peace from God about it. And I don't have a gun. I'm a convicted felon. I can't even. I really have to count on God, and He never let me down. But I guess in a moment of weakness, I was in an Army Navy store, and I found a metal sign, and the metal sign had a picture of a hand holding a revolver, big pistol, and it was about that big, and it said, "Prayer is the best way to meet God." And then it said, "Trespassing is faster." And I put that right in the windshield of my motorhome facing this silly. I'm going to tell you something, man. John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says unto him, Jesus talking, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
And he finishes for knuckleheads like us. He finishes with these words, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, this is a Baptist church, a Bible-believing church on top of it, and most of you know that, but listen, Americans, there are millions and millions of Americans in church right now, in this time zone, and some are at Cracker Barrel because they are need. And some will be, but I mean, I wonder how many millions of Americans go to church faithfully every Sunday in America, and many of them, more than you can imagine, are trusting in variations of what that book said. But Jesus Christ was very clear. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. That means Jesus Christ isn't a way. He isn't the best way. He isn't a good way. He's not just the fastest way. He's the only way.
Yes, sir.
And you better be coming His way. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The religious way doesn't cut it. Religion will make for a good life. Religious people generally have a better quality of life than non-religious people. Well, that's good for this life. That ends at the grave. Amen. The good person way. And there's a lot of good people. I hear so much America bashing, and I'm thinking, who are they talking about? I've been on the road for over 30 years. I've been in every state. I'm in truck stops. I'm in all kinds of places. And I got to say that 98% of the time, most people treat us just fine. There's idiots out there. I get that, but somehow we decided that it's more attractive to put more emphasis on the bad. Maybe that's because we spend so much time watching television and reading stuff that's negative. The minority always gets all the attention. There's a lot of good people in America, and they need to know about your Savior.
Amen.
You need, listen, I'm just reminding you, I don't know everybody in here. I don't know what you're trusting. I don't even know why you're here. People come to church because they've been invited. They've been prayed over. Praise the Lord for that. I'm just going to tell you that first and foremost, you are going to give an account of yourself to God, and you're going to give an account of your salvation. You better be trusting in the right thing. Amen. I saw a sign on a church down south, and I don't know what their doctrine was inside. I had reason to wonder about it. But I took note of the sign. Like you have a sign that said, "Nobody's getting into heaven until Jesus gets into them." And I went, "Oh, take a note of that. Write that down. That's how we get our material. We read times." Amen. Sometimes. Amen. But that's the truth. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says in Ephesians 2, and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God." And then us Baptists, we got to say, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We got to say it so fast that people, I think we think it's still part of verse 8. It's so important because so many believe that works have something to do with it, that we make sure they know we know that we're not saved by works. We don't work to get it. We don't work to keep it. And here's why. It says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Isn't God long-suffering, patient, merciful to put up with us bragging on ourselves down here? Even things He did. We'll brag on ourselves. And God just says, well, yeah, people for you. But he ain't putting up with that up there. He ain't going to have that up there. Nobody's going to be bragging on themselves. Oh, I gave a lot of money, or I was a good person, or I was charitable. Or I ain't going to be that. I mentioned one message, Mark 5, the maniac Gadara. I can relate to him. He was in a lot of trouble, often bound in fetters and chains, and boy, he got it, man. And I said somewhere, I said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm looking him up. I can relate. Me and him would have been friends. Amen. And I'm going to find, and when I find the maniac Gadara, here's what I'm going to say. Where's that thief? Take me to the thief. They know where each other is. They've been up there a long time. And take me to the thief that was executed next to my Savior. And the three of us, we're going to have a shout it out. Because I'll tell you what, the three of us, the thief on the cross, the maniac, and Derek, David Spurgeon, are going to know absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt that the only reason we're there is but by the grace of God.
Amen.
I got news for you. The same goes for every one of you.
Amen.
The only way you're going to get there is through that blood, is saved by that same grace, put your faith in what Jesus Christ did, and ain't nobody going to be bragging on nothing but him when they get there.
Amen.
I don't know what's going on in the other place, because I'm not going, I might be pointing fingers and blaming and criticizing, but I want to be in a place where all the focus is on him.
Amen.
You better make sure that's what your focus is on too, if you plan on going there. It says in Matthew 27 and verse 22, go ahead and turn there. I'm going to slow this way down. I'm going to slow this down. My wife says, you're talking awful fast up there. I wanted to get done in time. Now, you guys don't go home, so we'll just be here till 2. I don't know. Matthew 27 and verse 22. I've been in those places too. I said to my wife, I said, these people are Yankees, aren't they? Are you guys Yankees?
Yes.
I mean, I know you're Northerners, no question about that. But I didn't know if you guys considered yourselves Yankees. I heard something today I'd never heard before. You know why Norwegian ships have barcodes on them? You do know, don't you? Everybody knows, don't they? That way, so when they come back to port, they can scan the Navy in. Ooh. I just heard that. That'll go over better in Florida, I bet. Amen. So that's why I say that, say this, you know, Northerners talk faster than Southerners, generally. Amen. So you're keeping up. You're doing fine. Matthew 27 and verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Wrong answer. And they know it. But truth of the matter is, everyone will give an account of what they did with Jesus Christ. And real simple, the right thing, trust him as your Savior, will get you into heaven. The wrong thing, trusting anything else, will put you in an eternal lake of fire. Amen. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're going to give an account of what you're trusting in for eternity. And I hope it's the right thing. And if it is, you'll end up in the right place. Now, Paul wrote this to Christians, so I'm going to, I'm not going to assume. I know there's a lot of Christians in here. So let me say this too. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 6. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, I'm working on it, he is a new creature, behold, all things are passed away. Well, let me say it right this time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new.
Yeah.
So that's pretty simple to me. Things change. Things are supposed to change when you get born again.
Yeah.
Now, salvation, thankfully, comes with no strings. But when you become a new creature in Christ, you are stepping into a whole new wonderful world. And here's one of the things that changed, 2 Corinthians 6. And you're there, and look at verse 17. Wherefore, talking to believers, are you saved?
Yes.
Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, you can have your own ideas on things. Thank God we can. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to give an account of your separation. Amen. And Christians resist separation for this reason right here. They want to walk a fine line between godliness and worldliness. And it's evidence everywhere I go week after week. I see people that say one thing, but I look at them, I'm going, really? Amen. We resist it. That's why there's little to no standards anymore. That's why you're a legalist if you even preach on separation. Well, I never dreamed in a million years that David Spurgeon, the professional outlaw, would ever be called a legalist. But the person had asked me that, I said, I don't know, but what are you, an illegalist? Listen, I tried that route. This is how it's better. Amen. Listen, I got to tell you, there is no fine line between worldliness and godliness. You're going to have to make a decision because they are polar opposites. You hear me? Romans 14, we're in Romans 14, originally anyway, I still am. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I get that. We don't all have to think just alike. We're not a bunch of clones. I get that. What God has laid on my heart, he may not lay. I'm not laying out rules. I am laying this out. I want you to consider the fact that you're going to give an account of your separation. That thing said, let every man be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded means to be sincerely convicted about something. And it's good to be fully persuaded about some things, because in my opinion, Holy Ghost convictions are what differentiates Bible Christianity from religion. I feel sorry for people that don't have any convictions or standards. All they have is rules. Let me tell you something about humans. Rules breed rebellion. And when you get tired of rules, you'll go. And you'll talk bad on your way out. And it happens all the time. Here to tell you this morning, when you give an account of yourself to God, and you will, you're going to explain to the Lord Jesus Christ one-on-one why you made some of the choices and some of the decisions that you made. And I think you're going to be embarrassed at how many times the I word shows up when you give an account. Well, I thought, or I felt, or I wanted. Now, you can use all that now. It ain't going to fly at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account of your salvation. If you don't do the right thing with Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about this one, this judgment. There's another one. Amen. It's going to be much worse. But if you're born again, child of God, amen. I've just got to tell you these things. That's my job. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to give an account on salvation. And it's to him. Face to face. You're going to give an account of this too. Take your Bible, go to James 1. James chapter 1. There's an interesting verse. It says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I knew that on the street in the 70s, 20 years before I ever got saved. I knew that. I'm watching people, I'm observing people, amen, and I knew that a double-minded man couldn't be trusted. I get saved, and now I'm in my early 40s, and I'm in the Bible, and it said, oh, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I went, yeah, that's right. All. So if you find somebody that double-minded in some areas of their life, you better just step back, because, well, if something doesn't change, they're going to be unstable in every other areas, maybe every area. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now you're going to give an account of your stability. And you really have no excuse to be unstable when we have a Bible, we have a church, and we have a, if you're saved, an indwelling Holy Spirit, you've got a pastor. If you're unstable, it's because you want to be. Because you're a rebel. It says this in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. The context is Christians. He's written this pastoral epistle to Timothy, and he's telling him about the conduct of a servant of the Lord. And he said, you're going to be responsible to instruct those that oppose themselves. And I thought, well, what is that? What does that mean? Well, Jesus coined a one word that describes it pretty good. It was hypocrite. So what is that? Instructing those that oppose themselves. That means they say one thing and do another. They claim to be a Christian, but they don't act like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian, not according to my opinion, but according to God's book. They're bound to determine to do what they want to do and say, I'm saved by grace and I have liberty, and don't put your rules on me, and you're a rebel. That's all there is to it. Well, take it from a professional rebel. Amen. Instructing them that oppose themselves, there's hope for them. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You know what the truth is? It's real simple. He's right.
Yep, right.
And you're wrong.
Yep. Amen.
And if you claim to be one thing and you act a different way, you're wrong. You're out of order. And God wants the light to come on. He wants to give you repentance to the knowledge of the truth, but it's still up to you. You got to acknowledge it. And then the next verse says, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Instability in a child of God is a snare of the devil. Instability makes you an easy target. And your pride will keep you from admitting it. And our prayer is that the Holy Ghost, we're not counselors, that Holy Ghost preaching will somehow get through there and cause you to say, wow, wait a minute, am I guilty of that? Ask God. I used to hear things preached. I was way out there, and then we'd have camp meetings, and they're bringing in all these preachers, and I heard so many things preached, and I'm trying to get with the program. And again, I started way behind the curve. I just shut up. When I realized that the 10-year-old knew more Bible than me, I just shut up and listened and came. And I heard so much in some of them early meetings. I'd go to the older, and sometimes I'd be convicted, and I'd ask God to help. I needed a lot of help. I went to the older a lot. I wasn't afraid of what everybody else thought. I wasn't when I was lost, and I'm not going to be now.
Amen.
I get it. A lot of people are way more worried about what other people think. I get that. Amen. I would go to the altar sometimes and say, God, I don't even get that. I don't even understand it. I don't want to be guilty of that. What do I do about that? Is that me? And God would say, that's not for you. You're not even there. Amen? There were times I went to the altar and he showed me things and I thank God for that. And I went back and I got things right and I tried to get it together because I don't want to be an easy target for the devil. I don't want to be unstable. That's how God deals with us. Everything you hear is may not be for you, but you ain't the only one in here. Amen. So sometimes Christians are so sensitive, oh, I can't believe he said that. Well, if you're not doing it, then don't worry about it. What's wrong with you? Amen. What a thin-skinned, wimpy bunch of easily offended people. Milton, King James, if you had a glimpse of what I see traveling, okay, well, I'm glad God put me with the crowd he put me with, so I didn't turn out like some of the people he put me with now. He put me there to try to help him. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
Say, but Bertie, we've been saved longer than you. Yeah, some of you have, some of you haven't. I'm trying to help you. If you're offended, raise your hand. Put that camera up. Bible says this in Ephesians 4 and 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Time to grow up. Taught to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, there are some heretics on that internet. You need to shut that thing down if you can't discern right and wrong. Say, well, how will I know what to do? Oh, it's so difficult. An old drug addict biker can do it, but you can't. Why? Because you're so smart? That's the first time I heard that this week. Amen. Maybe it's because I'm hard of hearing. Every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And they deceive. That's what they do. That's what the warning is. And it's always been a factor. And there's always been heretics. And there's always been literature. And now, like, talk about steroids, all this information age. I am blessed. I'm not very technological at all. If I was the reader that some of you are, my whole life would be consumed with the internet. I fall asleep. It's a blessing. But then we've gone way past that or to the next level, and we're carrying computers around in our hands, in our pockets, in our purses all the time. And I just tell you, I ride motorcycles for enjoyment. Please don't text and drive. It might kill me. Yeah. Amen. Talking about stability, I'm going to tell you this right here. When we got this Bible, and we've got access to the throne of grace, and we've got one another, iron sharpeneth iron, and we've got preaching, which is the power of God. We got everything God has given us, all the tools necessary to get off the emotional, drama-driven roller coaster. Beloved, we've been singing about it. If you're saved, your sin debt is canceled.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're going to end up at the right judgment. I'm just here to tell you. You're going to give an account of your stability. You need to maybe consider that before you get off on some of these side roads you get off on. Well, I heard. Yeah, that's your problem. You're not hearing from God. All right, next. It's getting better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Salvation, separation. I know that was a little touch and go. And then stability. But let's go to, well, one of the favorites. Submission. You're going to get an account of your submission. Here's what I know about people. Men don't especially like to submit to their pastors. I know. I hate to be the one to tell you. And wives, they're not really happy about submitting to their husbands. It should be quiet right now, but I know. My wife went through college in the mid-70s. She was a professional feminist. She didn't want to get married. She didn't want to have kids. She's not going to have no man tell her what to do. And God put her, this very accomplished college-trained person, in a house with the same person. And I'm the boss. And she's smarter than me, and she's been saved longer, and she's been through the Bible more, and I'd say, yeah, but don't forget. And one day I asked her, what did you do in a past life to get sentenced to me? I mean, we got wonderful, but they don't really like it either, because they got a nature just like you. But it's a Bible thing. Children. They don't like submitting to their parents. How do you know? Because I remember when I was one. And some things they changed. Yep. Students don't like submitting to teachers. Nobody likes submitting to anybody.
Right.
Yep. Amen. But it kind of comes up in the Bible a few times. So I know that. We all know that. So this is what I'm talking about. You're going to give an account of. Not that, those relationships. This one here. 1 Peter 5. Go there. 1 Peter 5. Do you even have Cracker Barrels in Minnesota?
Yes.
I hadn't seen one. Well, don't worry, you're not going to make the 12 o'clock rush. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, he wrote this. He said, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's probably no more popular now than it was then. But then it says this. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Look up here. All of you, he wrote this to Christ, be subject one to another. Not your husband, not your parents, not your... All of you be subject one to another. Amen? And clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You're going to give an account of it. You can have any opinion you want, but I'm here to tell you the key to submission is Philippians 2 and 3, and it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The problem we have with submission is that we don't esteem others better than ourselves. We do let things happen through strife and vainglory. And what are you talking about? Giving a conference. Listen, brother and sister, we've been put here to work together in order to get something done for the glory of Jesus Christ. And on our best day, we don't scratch the surface, but on our best day, if we can work together, we can do something that's according to his will and pleasing in his sight, and he can fill in all the gaps where we lack. The body of Christ is just that, and we're supposed to work together. You're going to give an account of your submission. You're going to give an account of your sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. Here's why I say I'm almost done. I see some people already are done. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He sacrificed his life for our sins, keep us out of hell. And he doesn't ask us to die for him. He asks us to live for him. And not out of rules, not out of guilt, not out of fear. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Nobody ever really successfully forced David Spurgeon into doing anything. I don't do this because I have to. I don't do this because I need a job. I could do a lot of things that would be easier than this and probably pay better. I don't know about that. God's taken really good care of us. And partly because of you guys. And I appreciate that. I don't want to sound arrogant. Amen? But I do this. I surrendered to whatever. I didn't surrender to anything 6 months after getting saved. I surrendered to anything. Do you understand what I said? I go down there to Pensacola. Well, I'm going to be a youth pastor, and I'm going to be a missionary. And I thought, cool, if you got direction from God, praise the Lord. I didn't go that route. I went and I laid my life on an altar, and I said, God, I'll clean toilets. I'll do anything. For 4 years, I was an usher, and I was happy as I could be, and I did it with as much zeal and energy as I do this. I thought it was a privilege to do anything for God. And I do that and ended up doing this, not out of, well, only out of what? Love. He changed my heart. Are you saved?
Yeah.
The next verse, it says we should live from, not henceforth live unto ourselves. That's what you get for walking. That's what a Christian can do. But the love of Christ constraineth us. We ought to do this in light of his sacrifice. We ought to do this out of love for him. Amen? And if your motive is something else, you're going to have a rough way to go. We wince at the word sacrifice because it simply means to give up something. But Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Sacrifice, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Really? What's hard about that? Well, the only thing that makes that hard is your priorities are way out of whack. And I'm not saying you're not saved. But if you have a problem thanking God, and I'm not talking about lip service, Because if you're really thankful for what he did, and it'll manifest itself in the fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name. It'll change how you live. It's hard for the flesh to get the upper hand when you're doing that. You're going to give an account of your sacrifice. Last of all, we're in Romans 12, you're going to give an account of your service. And the verse continues and says, present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Well, what's that mean? Well, I guess it depends who you ask. Me? I found the answer to that here. What's holy is here. What's acceptable to God's here. What's not acceptable to God's here doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I mean, if you're concerned with what he thinks, and you should be, you're going to give an account of your service. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? To present your bodies holy, except seems reasonable, and he covered the hard part. Well, that's what we want. We want our Christian life to be like salvation. He did all the work, and we get all the goods. But to live for God, you're going to give an account of those decisions. Just trying to help you this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says this. Paul wrote to this church. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. That ain't psychologically deep. It says whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So that means to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey very simply means this. It's totally up to you. It's a decision that you have to make. But I'm here to tell you, you will give account of that decision to God, face to face, one-on-one, in person, someday. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And if something came up this hour or this week that you don't want to give an account for face to face. Maybe the Holy Spirit put his finger on something that I don't really want to. I'll argue that here, but I don't want. You understand what I'm saying? Well, God has given us access, like I mentioned, to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Amen. And grace to help in time of need. And I've been there for both reasons. And I've been there for mercy to get right. And I've been there for grace to need a lot, because the more grace I get, the less mercy I need. And the same goes for you, believe it or not.
That's right.
So if there's something in your life, something that you know about, or something that the Lord's revealed that you don't want to give an account of, it just doesn't make sense to take care of it down here. It does to me. Now, I'm really done, but before I close, I'm going to revisit salvation. Are you saved this morning? I mean, I want to hear it. Are you saved?
Yes.
I hope so. The Bible says in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, the Lord said, marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. Listen, you don't have to be saved to be a good person. I know some lost people that are nicer than some saved people. I'm glad of it. I like being around good people. They rub off. They make a good influence. They put me under conviction. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be saved to be a good person, but you have to be saved to get into heaven. And you will not have a good excuse. No one will have a good excuse when you give an account for why you rejected him. Again, because a good chance if you're here this morning hearing this ain't your first rodeo, and for whatever reason you've never acted on it, I'm telling you, what you do is your business, but you don't have to explain it to me, but you're going to explain it to him. Jesus Christ said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Where do you think you're going to find a better offer than that? You're not. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that. Smartest thing I ever did. Amen. If you're saved, smartest thing you ever did.
Amen.
If you're not saved, be the smartest thing you ever could do. You could wrap it up today. We'll open a Bible and show you why. Just remember. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Bow your heads, close your eyes, think about that for a minute. Preacher's going to come, mind God, mind the Holy Spirit, and let's just do something with what God's given us today. Amen?